Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bert Show.
So late October, I went to Nashville for the Georgia game, for the Georgia Vandy game, and just really did it up alcohol-wise with Mark. Really did it up. I mean, whew, in an ugly way. And the weekend after that, we had some friends in town from Pennsylvania. Did it up again on Friday night. Then we had Jackie Lantern on Saturday night, and I got stupid again.
The Big Wicked?
Big Wicked, yeah, on Saturday night.
The Big Wicked stories were funny because for about 2-3 weeks after Big Wicked, people would come into the studio, like either salespeople or other people, you know, management or just people coming in, like guests on the show. And everyone would say, oh, dude, I saw you. Big Wicked, man, you look like you're having a good time. And you could see the vacant look in Bert's eyes where he's like,
I saw you.
When did I see you? Yeah. And like, even one of them was like, we rode there together.
At one point of the night, and I'm not bragging about this. I'm embarrassed by it. But at one point of the night, we had a whole bunch of people in the limo, and the limo had to stop because I thought I was going to throw up. It's right in front of like the varsity.
Oh, no.
So they stop the limo. I get out, take some rest, do that whole self-talk thing. You can do this. You don't have to throw up. You're going to be okay.
Oh, that's not a good place to be.
And I didn't yak, and I got back in the limo, but I was embarrassed, and I felt like an idiot. You just get to an age, you know, I feel like, I got kids now. And even though the party's always in me, I just don't want to be that guy. And I haven't wanted to be with him for, a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, all right, I'm taking November off from drinking. So I did for like 3.5 weeks. And the target date really was Thanksgiving because I knew once I got around Stacy's family that the alcohol was going to be flowing. But I took from like the 1st all the way to November 25th off.
And I was around Bert on 2 occasions. One, we ended up at the same time at the same we were going to having dinner together, and Bert pulled into the parking lot and saw that the new Sandy Springs Taco Mac was open. Mm-hmm. Smelled new. The beer smelled new.
Love that new bar smell.
So we get in there, and
the
server comes over, and I say, I'll have a basket of fries and a 420. And I look at Bert, and Bert says, I'll have the chicken wings and a 7-Up.
Not for me.
But that was, that was strong, right? And then, like, the next week, we did that softball game with Brian McCann.
Right.
And afterwards, we all went over to Stats we're like half a dozen of us, 10 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat at one of the tables. They have the taps built into the table. And I'm looking at Bert. We're sitting
staring
at opposite.
Right at you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. We're at opposite ends of the table.
It's an arm's reach. The tap is right there. You pour your own.
No, you want one.
And the server comes, and he's handing out glasses, and he gets to Bert. There's a little bit of hesitation, and Bert says, could I just have a club soda? So.
And it really wasn't a problem.
It was impressive.
Though. And I am, and I have always been, a binge drinker. I drink with intent. Like people that go home and they have one drink a night just to calm down. I have never understood that. I mean, it started in high school. I just got into that pattern, and that's how I drink, you know? So I thought, all right, I got to put the brakes on this, and I got to relearn how to drink. So I'm not going to drink at all in November. And I passed up parties where I knew that I'd be tempted. That part of not drinking was no problem at all. When the alcohol was in front of me, when Jeff and Jen were drinking, and I didn't have a drink, no problem at all. Zero. Staying away from the parties, no problem. But Stacy's always maintained that the real test is, just social drinking.
Oh, having like three drinks in a night and being done with it?
Drinking like a normal healthy person and then just being done and then going to bed without a buzz or without getting a total drink on. And down in Hilton Head for Thanksgiving weekend, the whole family went out. And I tried this whole pacing yourself through the night thing.
Uh-huh.
And I did it, but it was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. In what ways? What made it hard?
Once I have a drink in my hand, and I know that there are probably alcoholics listening right now going, this dude is describing himself as an alcoholic. Once I had the drink in hand and I started drinking it, it's like I wanted to pour it down my throat. Like I was doing one an hour.
That's a type of alcoholism.
Yeah,
that's
good. Without a doubt. I haven't looked it up online, but I'm absolutely sure it is.
I think it's called binge alcoholism, and it's where you could go a year without ever having a drink, but when you do get that first one or two in you, then you go hard, and that happens every single time you drink.
It was really hard. We started with a drink at 7 o'clock at dinner, and we probably stayed out till 12 or 12:30, and I had four drinks all night long, so one an hour, which for me is really, really slow. Normally, it would probably be two, and I'd be buzzed by the end of the night, and I'd be the guy pushing everybody for shots.
Mm-hmm.
It was way more difficult than I thought it was. And I'm not exactly sure what to make of it. I don't know if I should give it up entirely now, or
so,
I should.
What do you do now?
I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Like, what's the conversation going on inside your head? Like, because everybody else is probably focused on the conversation that's happening. You know, your family's chatting and you're talking and they're just sort of sipping on whatever they have in front of them.
Well,
in your mind, is there a whole different conversation going on?
It's two different answers. First of all, their family drinks a lot anyway. So pretty much everybody in that family drinks with the same intention. Like if we're all going out, we all know we're probably going to get...
It's a taxi night.
It's a taxi night, right?
Okay.
But for me, it was a constant reminding myself, slow down. You don't need another one. When the server came and asked everybody if they wanted a round, a couple of times I passed, which I never have done. Even if I have a full glass, I'll get another one, just making sure that I don't run out at all.
In case the server doesn't come back, dude, that's right? An issue.
So it was a real battle, man. I mean, it's a real problem. So
because I think the people that drink just a couple drinks are just wanting to relax, and that's their intention. And then when they feel like it's getting beyond relaxing is when they stop because they think, oh, I don't want to, you know, because if they're... It's like the intention of the night is just to chill, you know, and just to relax and unwind a little bit.
And my mentality has never really developed past like being 22 or 23 years old. Like if you're going to drink, you do it to get stupid and have fun and not relax and be social.
Right.
So all night long, I kept, you know, sort of like reserving the urge to say, hey, let's do a shot of Patron.
What about
another round for everybody? It was really difficult.
What about drinking as an accompaniment? Like to a meal. Like, for example, I had dinner last night with a friend, and while we ate, we each had two beers. And that was it. Like, there was no intention. We certainly weren't.
I don't understand that mentality. Like, adds to the meal for you?
Well, I just.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, like
especially with wine, or you know, like selecting a good wine to go with dinner and have one glass and that's it.
We met at Five Seasons. So it's
a beer place. Yeah.
And we were sitting in the bar, so it just kind of seemed like I got a pizza, I'm going to have a beer with it. And then we were talking, and it just, you know, we talked through two beers, and then that was it.
Yeah, I don't really, I mean, if I had to be totally honest and totally strip it down, like, I don't like the taste of alcohol. I don't like the taste of beer. I don't like the taste of vodka. So if I'm drinking, it's for one thing. It's escapism, really. It's just to get numb through the night.
Now, when you guys were in Italy, didn't you say it was a little bit different when you guys were on vacation and you were like having the long dinners and the wine and stuff? Like,
well,
was that any different or was that still drink wine until you get to that stage?
It wasn't as bad, but it was definitely like if we're drinking wine, we're going to drink to get buzzed. And we did.
Right.
Good morning. Is it Erie?
Eric.
Eric, she forgot the C. Good morning.
What's up, Erie?
How are you?
It's a small but an important letter.
Yes.
When there's only four letters to it, each and every one of them are very important. What's going on?
Nothing. I was just going to say, years ago when I was in New York, I actually had a psychiatrist tell me that that's called dipsomania. As crazy as that sounds. And he said, basically, it's that you can, you know, you have that one drink, but you can't. It's like, you know, you try to set that limit for three. You know, I want to have three, and then you'll find some excuse, but you basically can't stop drinking. And
what's
you
it called?
Go months without drinking, you know, several mm-hmm. months, you know, quit drinking, but then whenever you have those couple of drinks, mm-hmm. it's just, it starts creeping up on you, and you can't stop till you just keep getting higher.
Yeah, and it's not that you can't stop, because I did. It was just the first time I'd ever tried it, and it was way more difficult than I thought it was going to be. And like he said, I could probably go months without a drink and be fine. No problem. I did it for weeks, and I had no desire at all to have any alcohol.
I think it's, well, you know, it's also like with smoking or any or eating or anything. When you're in a pack, or when you're at home or with your buddies, you know, the difficulty comes not only, I mean, if you were by yourself, you could do whatever you wanted to do. But I think the temptation comes from if you're going out, then, I mean, do you avoid your friends all the time? Because, you know, when you go out with them, they're going to want to party.
I know.
Party,
and
know?
I did have to do that a couple of times during those 3.5-4 weeks that I didn't drink. I mean, there were some parties going on. One of my best friends was having a party at his restaurant, and I avoided it completely because I knew if I went in there mm-hmm. for one, it was going to be the same kind of pressure I give everybody else was going to be on me, so I just avoided the night altogether.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you have any friends that would back you up, like if you went out? Like, I know most of the people you hang out with, so I think I can answer this with a no. But, like, if you said to one of them, hey, look,
I'm asking you anyway. You
got to get my back on this. I'm going to go out tonight, and I'm going to have 3 vodkas. And that's it, 3 whatever you drink. And so, help me out. Don't let them pressure me. Distract them.
Yeah, I've got 2 different groups of friends. I've got the friends that you're talking about right there that go out that don't have kids, and I've got friends that have kids. If I go out with the friends that have kids,
the ones with kids are the big drinkers, aren't they?
The ones without the kids are the big drinkers. If I go out with the parents, then that's no problem at all.
Right.
Good morning, Mary. You're on Q100.
I'm just calling. I'm laughing because you guys are describing me to an absolute T.
Really?
I mean, I think the difference is I can go out in a social setting and not drink. That is not a problem. I don't avoid social situations.
Mm-hmm.
But this second that I have that first drink, glass of wine, martini, beer, whatever, it's on.
That's absolutely exactly how on. I feel. Like, I could be around people that are drinking, no problem. But if I have the first sip, then I'm in for the night.
See, well, I think the difference is, too, I'm definitely a social drinker. I mean, there is no way in the world, you know, if my husband were out of town or whatever, that I'm going to come home, crack a bottle of wine, open a beer, whatever, and have a drink by myself. I mean, it is absolutely a social setting for me. Same with smoking. I don't smoke at home, but this open that first beer, open that first, you know, have the first glass of wine, you know, cigarette in hand. Definitely binge situation.
I was curious, like, is it the feeling of the buzz that makes you want to keep going till the ultimate end? But you just said it's the first sip. So it's not the feeling of a buzz that makes you want to keep staying more buzzed. It's like,
well,
the first sip.
I definitely have an agenda. I'm the same way. I mean, like, I think there's a difference in beer that you like and then there's beer that you drink. I mean, like, I can go out and have, you know, a higher gravity beer or a Guinness or a dark beer and have that. But, you know, I definitely don't drink for the taste. In any sense, I mean, I do enjoy alcohol. Like, I enjoy good wines, you know, I enjoy, you know, a nice martini. But even in my mind, I'm not drinking it for the taste.
Yeah, me neither.
Not Bert enjoys getting buzzed.
It's like once you start, your direction is the finish line.
I equate more fun with more drinking. The more fun, the more buzz you're going to be. And I got to totally change that mentality or give it up altogether.
Right.
Because just having one means having 8.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's just, I'm more worried about the friend groups than anything and you being able to give it up. Because one of my friends is a recovering alcoholic, and it is a totally different setting when we're out with her and her girlfriend than it is with other people. And I'm always having to tell Katie, Katie, remember what we're doing, who we're going with, right? Well, no.
Hey, The Bert Show. Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.